Tonight we pick up where we left off as we continue to study discipleship, and we recognize and appreciate what one of our deacons said, Brother Baker, as it relates to discipleship is not, and for years, decades, quite frankly, you just hear saints of God with the best of intention just talking about discipleship is followership. Well, see, the word follow, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. See, because of what Baker said, I got to give you this. It's not on the slide, but I need you to turn there. When you get there, just say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Don't say amen until you get there. I got plenty of time. That's two of y'all. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. You there? See, Paul writes to the church of Christ at Corinth, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Translate that word follower right there, imitator. So Paul is saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So follower, and again, when you look at the scriptures, the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall in the ditch. So discipleship is not followership. Discipleship is understanding. Discipleship is knowing. And because a fool can follow a fool, and they both fall in the ditch. So don't tell me, so we seek to imitate Christ, and you imitate somebody that you know. Because followership can be blind. People can be sincerely wrong, as we preached on last Sunday night. So add that one to your repertoire, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, as we think about learning and doing and growing, go to Ephesians 4. Go to Ephesians 4. I'm going to give you one more, because y'all were so nice about that first one. Y'all want another bonus scripture? This is all bonus. Now, bonus does not go against my time, so when y'all say amen. So thank you, Brother Williams, for speaking on behalf of the whole audience tonight. They love you so much, Brother Darrell. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm just so thankful that you all are listening. And we will continue what I've now coined as wisdom preaching. See, as a young man, I'm a little more seasoned now. As a young man, Brother Aldridge, I wanted to be as loud as I could because that's what I saw. And nothing wrong with being loud, but you want to just be concise. You want to teach a lesson. I've certainly done that all the days that I've sought to, you know, that I have preached. But wisdom preach, I'm going to give you all just enough that I think you can handle at the time. Amen? Have y'all picked up on that? All right, so we're going to continue that wisdom preaching. Ephesians chapter 4. Should not have told y'all that. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. May grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love, you got to know what you're talking about. From whom the whole body fitly joined together, verse 16, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Everybody has a role to play. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, everybody has a role to play and everyone has a responsibility. Can you imagine a body where the foot didn't work? Can you imagine a body where the eye didn't work? Can you imagine a body? So you think about the effectual working of the body, and guess what? Things will change over time. And when one part of the body does not work as it should, then there's something called overcompensation. When I couldn't walk on my left leg due to an Achilles tear, well, that was actually a right tear and a right Achilles, I had just my left, and my left got stronger. And I was on a little scooter, and I had my left, and I was basically just pushing off my left leg because I couldn't put weight on my right. So, and that happens in the Lord's church. When everybody doesn't do what they need to do, then others are overcompensating. Good evening. God designed the body for every part to do its job. But see, you got to, but verse 15, speak the truth in love, that everybody, that we may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. Christ expects us to grow. From whom the whole body fitly joined together, verse 16, rerun, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When everybody does their part, when the body, when there were several parts, individual parts, respective parts, do their job, the body is edified and the body grows. But stay with the text. Verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk, live, not as other Gentiles, walk or live in the vanity of their mind. It's not about us. Let's not be selfish. Let's be selfless. Having the understanding darkened. See, the Gentiles lived a certain way because they didn't understand. The understanding was darkened. Key word, understanding. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. If you don't have understanding, you are ignorant. Look, I love how Paul teaches. He gives it right in the clear text. Their understanding was darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They couldn't see themselves. Here we go. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Lewd and lascivious conduct is basically being arrested for doing something nasty, typically in a sexual context. Lewd and lascivious conduct. Y'all all right? From criminology to back to theology. To work all uncleanness with greediness. But here it is, verse 20. But ye, saints of God, saints at Ephesus in the local context, have not so what? Followed Christ? Learned Christ. So discipleship, part two. Let's get into it. I gave you four minutes of bonus, so I'll take those 4 minutes off the back of the lesson because I wanted to put that as pillars. We follow, we imitate Christ because we know, we understand, and we have learned Christ. So as we talk about discipleship part two, Jesus says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me liveth in me, and I in him, two-way relationship, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The necessity of doing right by Christ, the necessity of abiding, living, being faithful in Christ Jesus. And so as we look at the text, this morning we discussed a few things. The root of discipleship, we got to know Jesus. The relationship of the disciple. Without him, we are nothing, as you just heard in John 15 and verse 5. Without him, we are absolutely nothing. We also discussed the result of discipleship. We must bear fruit. We must. There's an expectation. Everybody does their job. And so remember the context. I'll put it all up on the screen very quickly. I'm going to put it all there. It's the night before the crucifixion. Jesus told him he had to go away. He instituted the Lord's Supper. They didn't understand it, his disciples. But he gave them some comforting words. And he told them that, you know what, I got to go away to prepare a place for you, as we talked this morning. And although they didn't understand it, Jesus gave them instructions that you need to continue without me in my physical presence. I'm with you. And I'll be with you always, but my physical presence, I will no longer be physically present with you, in other words. And he gave them instructions in John chapter 15 on how we ought to live our lives. And so again, for the benefit of your notes, and I hope this is in your notes, and I appreciate again, Brother Baker, for making that point. I'm going to put this on the screen here for you. Recognize what a disciple is. A disciple is a student. See, as Christians, we belong to Christ. Christian means belonging to Christ. Disciple, mathetes, speaks of being a pupil, a student, a learner, not just a bystander. See, some Christians have gotten that twisted. Not just a bystander. I just come and I've been here for years. I sit in the same pew. I ain't learned nothing. No, that's not the expectation. And so when you think about manthano, the verb, to learn, to understand. And Jesus taught not only by example, but Jesus taught by direct instruction. He taught his disciples. And so as we think about the root of discipleship, I want to give you some new scriptures here. When Jesus says in John 15 and 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. My Father is the one who instituted this. I'm here because of him. So all the I am statements that Jesus made, please take a picture, get them down in your notes. These are encouraging to us because Jesus lets us know that you can't do anything without me. You want to eat spiritually? I'm the bread. You want to know the path? I'm the way. There's false prophets in the world. I'm the truth. You want to have life everlasting? You got to have it in me because I am the life. John 10 and 10, Jesus says, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So you want to go the way, I'm the way. You want to stand against a lie, stay in me, abide in me, and bring forth much fruit, because I am the way, I am the life. A sheep wandering on its own is going to get lost. So I'm not just a shepherd, I'm the good shepherd. My focus is to benefit my sheep, to oversee, inclusive of discipline, the sheep. We live in a dark world, he's a light of the world. We need authority. But guess what, folks? People say, you're not the boss of me. Well, somebody's got to boss us. Let me put it a different way, because some of y'all don't like bossiness. We have to be subject to something. Why do you stop at a red light? You're subject. Go ahead. No, please don't. Go ahead. Let me be clear. Says, Dada, you stop at that red light because the law of the land says so. If you don't, you risk a lot. Physical harm, and maybe even you may spend the night somewhere other than your house. You keep going through red lights. We're subject to things every day. And so as you think about just being subject, because there will be a resurrection. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection. So the root of discipleship, just hitting this nail one more time before we make a few more basic points, is knowing Jesus. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked, whom do men say that I am? And Peter's response, authoritatively and confidently, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so having said that, we must know Jesus to be his disciple. Not just an aimless follower. There's a lot of ignorant followers in the world. But as Christians, we understand Christ. We know Christ. We know who he is. And we choose to be subject to him. We talked about his doctrine this morning. And who did Jesus say, to whom did Jesus give credit for his doctrine? He, quite frankly, he said, this doctrine, paraphrasing, but it's on your screen, this doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. So the teachings of Christ are rooted and grounded in obeying the Father. The teachings of Christ are rooted and grounded in not only obedience, but also reverence. When we do anything, give glory to God. As kids go back to school, as staff go back to school, as you go to work, as you live and you move, and we have our very being, when you wake up, thank you, Lord. Before you lay down tonight, thank you, Lord, for another day. Just take a minute just to give God the thanks. Our relationship to God as disciples, the relationship is letting us, we understand what you've taught us. And guess what, saints? We make mistakes. Can anybody relate to making a mistake? I want to make sure I'm in the right crowd. That makes us human. But may we understand the mercy of God. The mercy of God. And so as you think about the relationship of the disciple, watch this now. See, branches grow out of the vine. Let me add some stuff to it now. Branches grow out of the vine, but branches have no life in and of themselves. You take a branch, break off a branch off a vine, and see how long it's going to last by itself. And why do I say that? Because those who have fallen away, how are you being nourished? Those who choose not to worship, who choose not to fellowship, how are you being nourished? You ever took care of a plant, and if the plant died, you can trace it back to what you didn't do. You take care of them early on, and then, I don't, anybody here ever, well, I don't want to do that. Raise your hand or anything. You don't have to do all that. I'm sure. I know I have. Rick and I had little gardens growing up, but if you don't mind it, weeds are going to come in. You have to pay attention. And so when we think about the fact as disciples of Christ, as students, pupils of Christ, we have to recognize that we have no life in and of ourselves. What did Jesus say? Without me, you have nothing. And so having said that, we must rely upon the righteousness of Christ. I want you to look at, turn your attention to Romans chapter 10. Romans, the 10th chapter. It's on the screen for your convenience, but please feel free to turn to it if you so choose. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, I put on record that they have a zeal of God. They have a fervency. There's an excitement. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So when we begin to, as my grandmama would say, our grandmama would say, Brother Rick, don't get too big for your britches. Now, some of you folks don't know. Some of you are just intellectuals. You don't know what I just said. Let me put it in an intellectual way. Your intellect has, your ego, you got to kind of turn, it's like your head too big to get outside that door. Is that better? You know, we're all that and a bag of chips. I'm trying to appeal to every audience here tonight. All right, okay, I got it. Okay, you needed that urban example. So my point is, as we think about just who we are, the humility that being a disciple requires because we've learned Christ. How did Christ walk around? Humble, but confident. Obedient, yet bold. So no matter what it is, when you step on that job tomorrow, whether it's a job interview, whether it's an exit interview as you leave, leave right. Amen. So that you can enter right. You don't know as we matriculate through society. And so this is the relationship. So Paul says, these, my brethren, the Jews have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. When we get too big for our britches, the point we want to make, then we're going to keep doing, we're going to do our own thing. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So what will that do? Here it is. For they being ignorant. Why do I focus on ignorance? It's the opposite of understanding. Ignorant means unknowing. Understanding means you are in the know. So they're not making an informed decision. They're making emotional decisions. They have a zeal of God. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But not according to knowledge. And they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the unto the righteousness of God. Saints, this is what we're talking about. The relationship of the disciple. Building on what we talked about this morning is when we are the pupils, when we are the learners, when we are the students, we will stay in the book and keep growing in the knowledge of God. Not some ignorance. And saints, I will say, I'll put on record and look right in that camera, many churches of Christ, many individual congregations, each congregation is autonomous. We need to be careful that we do not seek to establish our own righteousness. And there are brothers that are, there are people that are following, key word now, following brothers who have not, when you start talking about bringing in instrumental music and allowing women to serve on a table, it's not about inclusivity. It's not about, you know, how dare you all not be, you know, not catch up with the time. We're just staying close. We're just holding to the Bible. Thank God for our sisters. And thank God for sisters who know the word. Who wouldn't dare say, wait a minute. But see, those who get in their feelings and like, well, no, we need to be more progressive. Be careful. We're going to stick to the Bible. We just got to stick to the Bible. It's not about what people cannot do. It's about what he said. You don't even do that at home. If you are here, now let's say we don't have any little kids here, but just go get your mama's keys and I'm giving you some extreme examples. If you were to, which you should not, go grab your mama's keys, get in the car, boom, and just go driving. And you come back and be like, what are you doing? You didn't say, don't take your keys. You're going to have a tough night if you can stay at home. But my point is, as children of God, recognize what Paul says in Romans 10, latter part of verse number 3. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So as we look at the word of God tonight, it's a few more scriptures for you. The relationship of the disciples is we got to know Christ. We have to understand Christ, not be ignorant of his will and of his way. Philippians chapter 3, put this in your notes. Philippians 3, beginning at verse 10, that I may know him, understand him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable. See, that's where you get into imitating. Be followers of me, imitating, and being made conformable. I want to be like him unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul is simply saying, I want to imitate Christ. And the same Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also follow Christ. But he said, I need to understand that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen, saints. We need to know that he is the source of the words of eternal life. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what makes eternal life possible for all mankind. As disciples, study this, learn this, know this. We got folks that are in our audience tonight that know the law. They've studied law, if you will. And so what you recognize, we talk about, is pattern and there's precedent. Something that happened before that preceded an event or an action that preceded what happens here. And so when you think about the word of God, again, I'm not a lawyer, I just play one on TV, but there's precedent throughout scripture. Jesus Christ died, the first fruits, Brother Rick. And so when Paul says that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, that I might attain, latter part, unto the resurrection of the dead, Paul said that pattern of death, burial, and resurrection allows me to be in his family. We obeyed the gospel. Jesus set forth the pattern. And there is no one else that died for our sins. So, saints of God, when we think about knowing what Christ has done for us, knowing that he is the source of eternal life, John chapter 6, beginning at verse 68. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go?" We sing the song, "Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving below to face temptation sore. Tell me now," that's addition, "where could I go but to the Lord?" Peter asked the question, "To Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. Are you assured tonight? Are you confident in knowing who Jesus Christ is, what he's done for us, the pattern he set forth for all of us to know? Because guess what, folks? We can't do it alone. There's nothing we can do. Proverbs 14, just because it may seem right doesn't make it right. Amen. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's what ignorance will do. Make informed decisions about your spiritual walk. I'm concerned about many a congregation because they're just deviating, pivoting slowly away from the Word of God. Too much self's coming in. Too much, let's do things to make people, get people excited. If the Word of God doesn't excite you, then heaven must not excite you. Let me say that again. You can't get to heaven without the Word of God. Why would we have less Word and more flesh? Because the flesh cannot inherit eternal life. But yet, we want to satisfy the flesh. That makes us human. And so, saints, my encouragement to you tonight is, the messianic prophet said, we've all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity, the lawlessness of us all. He bore it all. And mankind in and of itself, as we said this morning, cannot direct our own paths. Not to heaven. We need Christ. So that relationship of the disciple to Christ is we must do those things necessary to please God, to obey God. No Christ, K-N-O-W, no peace. No Christ, no peace. And so as you think about the result of discipleship, recognizing that the seed will produce Christians, the seed, the Word of God, is it going to fall on fertile ground? We talk about fertile ground, I'm pointing to the heart. The seed has to fall on fertile ground, our heart condition. And when we do that with an honest and good heart, Luke 8:15, having heard the word, we keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That's discipleship. We learn it. And you know what? You got to keep on learning. When we read the scripture with Romans, when we go to Romans and we talk about, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, there's an ing on that. You know that, right? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you recognize what the Bible is saying there? So Romans 10 and verse 17, that's an ongoing cultivation. Every time we hear the word of God, it's like you should have something you're adding to your data bank, your database, your memory, to your learning, committed to learning. I pray to God every time we preach or teach, Brother Rick, that something is said to cause all of us to continue to cultivate the dirt. Turn over the dirt a little bit. I'm using a gardening example. You want that black, rich dirt. Because sometimes up top, the sun can beat on it, and it gets a little worn. Amen? I don't know. I don't have a green thumb, but I recognize this basic gardening in horticulture, if you will. Turn over that dirt. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Present participle, an ongoing action. And it's scary when saints of God are like, oh, we preach the same, but we're going to keep preaching from the same Bible. There's going to be some repetition. Ain't that funny? But you play that same song you love over and over again. But yet you're bored by the word. That problem's with the flesh, not with God. That you might walk worthy, Paul says in Colossians 1 and 10. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We close with this. Song leader, come on. I'm putting them up here. We can die in our sins. Christians can fall from grace. Jesus says in John 15 that you don't bring forth fruit, you're cast away. dead branches are cast out. Christians can sow sin and lose their salvation. Christians can fall away. We can fall from grace. You can't fall from where you have not been. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. See, they had left. Those who had obeyed the gospel, Paul says, I'm amazed that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Galatians 1, 6 and 7. Unto it, which is not another, but there will be some that would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us not tinker, toy, tamper, pervert the word of God. Stay with the text. We can fall from grace. And what did Jesus say? He said those live branches can be pruned to produce more fruit. Let's close in John 15. Turn over to John 15, and then I'm taking my seat. John, the 15th chapter. Let's finish where we began. John 15, saints, you know the drill. Daryl knows the drill. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Look at that last point on the screen. Live branches that are pruned produce more fruit. We want the pruning. You want the redirection. You want the chastisement. You want to be pushed to be better. Well, I'm still on the vine. I haven't fallen away. Well, quit complaining and get to work. Amen. I'm right back to where I started. When every member of the body, when every part of the body does what it needs to do, the body is edified. And so God will take a live branch that's producing some fruit, prune it, and it brings forth more fruit. Don't leave me while I'm trying to close. And so having said that, you can bring forth more fruit. Now, verse 3, you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide, live in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We've made that point many times today. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Don't leave God. Come hell or high water. Saints, stay with the Lord. I am the vine, verse 5. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Our lesson text. Two more verses, three more verses. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. It is a scary thing for those who have left the Lord's church. Where are you? What are you doing? Where are you? How can you be fed spiritually outside of the Lord's church? People can say spiritual, religious things to you, but you are not where God expects you to be. If you leave home tonight, let's say you got a comfort roof over your head, you can find shelter. You can get a cardboard box and get a little bit of cover, but it ain't like home. My point to you is this. That prodigal son recognized it, and he came to his senses and came back home. I pray that those outside that have strayed away from the body can find their way back home. I pray that God will give them the space and time to repent. But saints, we that are at home, don't get comfortable just sitting and doing nothing. Let's everybody do what we can while we can. Amen. Verse 7, we're going to 8. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. God is still in the provision of business. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. A disciple is a student, a pupil, a learner. A disciple must continue to learn. We never graduate from this school we call Christianity. And so it is tonight. We have learned what God has done for us. We have not only learned that, we believe it. We heard it. We believed it, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We recognize the necessity of changing our mind and doing what's right by God, turning from our ways and turning to God. That's called repentance, Luke 13, 3 and 5. When we turn from our ways and turn to God, we then recognize, open our mouth to say what it is we believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, you are baptized, immersed fully in water. There's no christening, because if you're christened, you haven't heard, you have not so learned Christ. And when somebody comes to you with anything outside of the body, anything outside of the authority of God, say, you have not so learned Christ. That may offend them, but you got to let people know. When they try to be authoritative, you have not so learned Christ. But I think there's other denominations. You have not so learned Christ, Ephesians 4 and 20. There's your scripture for that. Once you are baptized, you rise up to walk in a brand new way of life. Saints of God, we pray to God that something was said tonight to cause all of us to keep growing in the Lord. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we were called. A song has been selected. And let me tell you something. Whether you like sports or not, there is an opponent. And he is a diabolical one. He is the devil. But we already know who won. And we already know where we win. And the only people that are going to win are those who stay faithful in Christ Jesus. Because the victory is in Jesus. As we together stand, as we together sing. Sing the song like you mean it. Victory in Jesus. Won't you come?